Brian Noonan for Ro Khan and Anna DeVellantes on 720 WGN. Happy New Year. Hope you are having a wonderful afternoon. Thanks for spending some of it with us. If you're like most people, or many people rather, you made some resolutions today. Everybody makes their New Year's resolutions. Some people keep them. A lot of people don't. I don't know why that is. I don't know where resolutions came from. But one man who might be able to help us, Dr. Peter Sacco. He is the author of Breaking Those Damn Habits and Finally Getting Things Right. He joins me now on 720 WGN. Dr. Sacco, thanks for taking some time. Happy New Year.
Well, happy New Year there, Brian, and everybody out there in Chicago. Hope you're having a great New Year already.
So far, so good. Today people are making those reservations or resolutions and maybe reservations. Maybe that was one of their resolutions, to make reservations to go somewhere. Where did this whole resolution thing start, do you know?
You know what? There's no specific thing or specific time with it. Some people say, well, it was like a couple hundred years ago. Sometimes in the 1800s it started, and others said, well, no, it was more like something like 80 years ago. There really is nothing specific, but what it is, I guess to a degree, Brian, it is a wiping, you know, the slate clean sort of deal. New year, new mindset, out with the old, in with the new. And that's kind of like where that approach started.
And that makes sense. We all want to change things and better ourselves, but the numbers don't really bear that out. The research says that only 8% of the people who make resolutions actually succeed at them. What makes it so hard for us to change?
Well, first of all, with those 8% that actually succeed, they make it to roughly the 28 days that is required to either create a new habit or get rid of an old habit. And I think the key thing is, Brian, is that the reason those 8% succeed is because they're clear about what it is, the change that they want to bring about in their lives. They're very passionate about it, but more importantly, it's all about themselves, meaning they've chose this change to eliminate a bad habit, create a good habit, on their own. They're not being forced into it, not being coerced, and they're not, you know, buying into, oh my God, got to do it. Everybody else in society is doing it. It's in vogue, so I'm going to do it too. So there's a greater motivation because it's intrinsic, meaning that there's a greater payoff mentally and emotionally inside.
Is it easier for someone to be successful if they are trying to create a new habit rather than to break an old bad habit?
That's an interesting point and a question. Is it easier? I'm not going to say it's easier, and I'm not going to say it's more difficult. I think what you're looking at more is of it in terms of the quality, because some habits took many, many years to build up because they became addictions even, right. i.e. smoking or incredible weight gain. So some people, you know, Brian, will quit really easy. Like, they'll be able to do it easy, but their mindset is so much stronger and they're more passionate about it. Whereas somebody's developed a habit, let's say, or something over a shorter period of time, but yet they can't kick it because they really don't view it as a problem and they don't view it as a major concern, or they just really don't want it. They procrastinate about it.
Dr. Peter Sacco is my guest. You can go to petersacco.com or following on Twitter at Dr. Peter Andrew Sacco, author of Breaking Those Damn Habits and Finally Getting Things Right, which is what we're talking about. Interesting. You brought up 28 days to create a new habit. What is that? That if we can do something for 28 days, then it becomes ingrained in us and it's easier for us to keep going?
Yeah, Brian, you actually used the proper term, ingrained. I think that's the clinical term in neuro-linguistic programming, which looks at, you know, the brain and the mind studies and that stuff. And so what it does is that the longer you do something, you start to ingrain, embed in a new neural pathway. And then once this pathway is created, it's like a toboggan going down the same slope. Or imagine somebody that keeps cutting across your lawn. Over a period of time, people will just continually walk in that bald patch. And they go, my gosh, why don't they go on the other way? Because it's just an ingrained thing. And that's the same thing with 28 days. Once you get to that point, there's something that clicks in your brain, and it really will work. And by the way, this is based on, I've worked with addiction, really bad addictions, for about 20 years with thousands and thousands of people. And they all said, this really will work, the principles that I've applied in this book.
And is that why when you hear people go into rehab, a lot of it's 28 days?
Yeah, actually, that's what it is. It's roughly around 28 days. And you know, for more severe cases, sometimes people will go for 30 to 60-day programs, like 2-month programs.
Right.
And with the nature of this book, it's not only treating addictions, but it's more of a habitual sense, or more of just creating, you know, things that you want to see the changes in your life.
Now, we all hear, you know, the popular resolutions are, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to quit smoking. What are some of the other big promises that people make to themselves? And maybe are there new ones that you're seeing come up that maybe weren't the last 3 to 5 years people weren't making these kind of resolutions?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, some of the more interesting ones. And, you know, by the way, like I wanted to put this book out for free, but my publisher said, no, we got to charge at least 99 cents.
That's, I was going to ask you, you know, because people see 99 cents for a book. Well, why is it 99 cents?
Because I wanted to keep it short, under 100 pages, and then also less than the cup of coffee. So going back to your point, there's a lot of people that want to give up caffeine consumption in the new year, and some people actually say, I want to read more in the new year. So, hey, touche, here you got something under 100 pages, and plus less than the price of cost, cup of coffee. But what was really interesting, Brian, one of the more interesting things that people have said to me when I was doing research for this and since then is I want to spend less time on online social media and less time texting and actually more face-to-face interaction with people.
And that makes sense because I know from personal experience being with people and sometimes being guilty of it myself, that seems to be consuming more and more people. Have you found that that's a difficult habit to break?
Yeah, absolutely, because it's so convenient. You've got people in terms of communication at the palm and your fingertips. They're in the palm of your hand, literally, on the phone. So you can save so much time by just sending off a text and not actually having to see them. And it's really interesting. I was talking to some people actually today at the gym, which I went on the first day, and they were saying, you know what, I thought about actually giving up the online social media stuff because I wanted to spend more time seeing people, but I spent too much bloody time with them over the holidays, and then last night I've seen enough of them for another year.
Well, that's, you know, there's only so much personal interaction you can take. Let's be honest. Some people wear you out. You want to get away from them quick.
Yeah, you know, and that's, I think, what it is, too. And, I preached this in the book, in life. You know, choose the people that you're going to allow into your circle. You know, choose wisely, because there are some people that are going to be, I call them psychic vampires that'll drain you. And then, the flip side also holds, too. You might be the vampire to them, you know, bringing your drama into their life. And so that's one of the other things, too, I've heard people saying for 2016. They want drama-free lives. And I think the online social media brings a lot of that out there because you have your own reality TV show going.
Right, and you're always comparing yourself to other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things in 2016. I think people, going back to the 8% that are successful and the 92% that are not as successful yet but can get there if they don't give up and keep trying, is that you have to run your own race. Don't compare yourselves to the successes of others, but realize that you can do it on your own because you're a unique individual, and everybody has the abilities to make the change they want.
Now, we look at people trying to make resolutions, and are some just too hard for people? Is that why they fail at them? Or why do some resolutions seem to have more success and other resolutions seem to we just can't get there?
Well, I think when you're setting resolutions, the ones that are going to be more readily attainable are the ones that you have control over within your life. And you also pick one or two to work on and make gradual changes rather than trying like 5 to 10 and hoping to do, you know, a whole cleansing, you know, a whole buffet of resolutions at one time. Because what happens is when one or two start to not be as successful, you lose, you know, oh boy, this isn't working. You lose your confidence. And then that has a trickle over effect and the dominoes start to fall with the other ones. And then I think also too, Brian, you've got to be realistic. If you say that it's like, hey, man, I want to lose 50 pounds this year. Hey, let's be realistic. It took a while to put that extra 50 pounds on. You're not going to lose it in 1 week or two or maybe four or, you know, 2 or 3 months. It's going to take a while. So people will get discouraged when they don't see the results instantly because, hey, we live in an instant gratification society.
Well, is it better then to set if 50 pounds, let's use that example. If I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year, if that's your goal, should you be that specific? Should you break it down into smaller increments? What's a good way for, because that's a fine resolution, what ways could ensure success?
Well, first off, write it down on a piece of paper. So put what your ideal goal is, then you're going to work towards it. Your unconscious mind will lead you towards it. And once again, even a medical doctor probably would not be able to say, you know, with 100% certainty, okay, given your body mass, your basal metabolic rate, your bone structure, it should take you this X amount of time. Because nobody can say for sure, you know, what the metabolism is going to be like at a specific age. So when it's not working as fast as you want it to, keep on going, because you will get to that point. So I say, write it down, what your ideal weight is, goal. I also am strong into vision boards. Put pictures of yourself before you had the weight on, you gain the weight, or, you know, something or somebody that represents your ideal body weight. Look at them. Buy clothes that will represent your ideal body weight, because you'll start working towards that. And I think what's really important, Brian, is state your intention to other people.
I was going to ask you that, because a lot of people, they say, I made this resolution, but they haven't told anybody. Is it because you're giving yourself some outside pressure, you don't want to fail in front of other people, that telling other people kind of spurs you along to do better?
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And that could be a two-faced coin. Only tell people that are going to be encouraging. Don't go to tell people, say, hey, you know what, I'm going to lose 50 pounds, and they look at you and go, oh, good luck with that. You know, I don't think so. So you want to set your intentions. You want to be specific and clear. You want to visualize it. You want to start to feel yourself at your ideal, whatever it is, your weight, let's say, in weight loss, because then you're going to speed the process up of achieving it. But then you're also going to want to talk to people that will be encouraging. First of all, they will help you with their words, with their kindness, and whatever way else they can help you. But secondly, you are also, as you said, Brian, you're putting yourself out there too. So now you're going to live to your words. And I think the greatest two words in the history of humanity are the words, I am, those first two words, because whatever you say after that, that's going to become your reality. So if you tell somebody, hey, I am adamant about, you know, dropping 50 pounds this year, then that is going to be your reality. And so you want to pick the right people.
Dr. Peter Sacco is my guest. A couple more minutes with the doctor before we let you go on to enjoy your New Year's Day. In the book, Breaking Those Damn Habits and Finally Getting Things Right, you alluded to procrastination. Can procrastination be an addiction?
Oh, absolutely. Procrastination is the most habitual and addictive behavior that so many people embrace with open arms. And it's gotten that way because procrastination is a shortcut to getting out of stuff. So right. You can either not want to do something and procrastinate about it, because then you avoid the responsibility. So you avoid potentially failing. You can procrastinate because you live in a day of entitlement, this day and age. And so if you don't do it, somebody else will. They'll save your bacon, change it. You don't get in much trouble. If it's done over and over and you know you can get away with it, then you keep it up. And also, procrastination itself is just a form of laziness. Or you just say, hey, I'm not ready for it. But you haven't been ready for it for 20 years, and it just builds and builds and builds.
And then if you procrastinate enough, can someone overcome that if they've been procrastinating, like you said, for 20 years? Can there just be something that flips a switch and one day they say, you know what, I am not going to procrastinate anymore? Can that happen?
Absolutely. In 1 minute, just by saying those words. And I wrote a book right now, Enough is Enough, several years ago, bestseller, for people that had addiction, really bad addiction problems. And one of the things I found in that book, Brian, and the people I interviewed with that really bad addictions, they would tell me, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired, and right now, enough is enough. And they got to that point where they said it 1 minute, and they made that change in their life.
Well, if people want to get that book, Enough is Enough, or Breaking Those Damn Habits and Finally Getting Things Right, which is only 99 cents, and as you said, cheaper than a cup of coffee, and a nice quick read under 100 pages, they can go to petersacco.com, S-A-C-C-O, and they can follow you on Twitter at Dr. Peter Andrew Sacco. I appreciate the time today, Doctor. Thanks very much, and Happy New Year.
Well, thank you so much, Brandon, and everybody. Happy New Year in the Windy City. Hope you have a great 2016.
Thank you. Take care. That's Dr. Peter Andrew Sacco. You can follow him again on Twitter or go to petersacco.com.